here to Westville, Durban Westville campus in 1980. Yeah, I first came in Durban, to Durban Westville in 1980 sometime. Where were you in 1980? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And really, it's very much connected. It's just an integral part of our topic, which is there on the board. Why worry about the afterlife? You know, the thing is this, that we don't want to just bring it down to the level of just, you know, we believe this and therefore we think that. We want to try and bring it a little above that level. That in Krishna consciousness, in bhakti yoga, as you find in other spiritual traditions or religious traditions, you could say, you find that there's this the ideas about that God is there, we have a relationship with God, and like this. So in bhakti yoga, the same types of ideas are there, but we tend to, in bhakti yoga, we tend to go into these subjects a little more deeply and from little different perspectives than what you normally get. If we have to worry about the afterlife, then obviously the indication is that we are going to live after the death of this body. That's the obvious implication of that, because the body, you know, if the body is buried as it is in some traditions or just some people, they have their body or their relatives' bodies buried, then you know what happens to the body. Excuse me for saying it. It gets eaten. That's what happens to it. All these little creatures get in there. Everything from bacterias to little, you know, insects. And so if you happen to open a coffin, say 10 years later or 20 or whatever it may be, sometime later, you'll find there's a skeleton there. That's what you'll find, actually. Try it and see. But then in other traditions, and just other people, like my mother and my father, who were both, they both died, they were both cremated, but they, you know, they were not into bhakti yoga, they were not into Krishna consciousness, they were not even really Christians, they were just don't care people, really, like agnostic, come atheist. But they decided, and their bodies were cremated, and all you get at the end, you get a little sort of packet or a box of ashes, and that's it. So if we talk about an afterlife, then we are not talking about this body having a life beyond its death. So we are obviously saying the implication is that we are not the body. We are in the body, and we're sort of caught up in the body, But we are something different, and therefore we can have an afterlife, because the body is just not going to, and that's all there is to it. So we are not these bodies. We are something beyond the body. And I want to do a little demonstration here to illustrate this point, just to give, you know, like perspective. I used the term before, an interesting type of perspective. I need a volunteer for this exercise. If no one volunteers, we'll have to appoint a volunteer. So, how about you, sir? Would you mind volunteering? No. Come, yeah. See, he's an interesting person. He's from Germany. Just stand there. This is Janani Das, by the way, from Germany via Australia. So, okay, now here we go. This is an exercise. We need your attention. Janabibas, point to your chest. There you go. Point to your head. Oh, very good. Point to your left arm. Oh, see, Germans are very intelligent. Point to your right leg. Okay, he's doing well so far. Let's see if we can catch him. Now, point to where your mind is, or seems to be. Mind.
All over the place.
It's all over. Down the street. Well, most people would say that their mind is somewhere within their head. Is it similar for you, or is it just me? Okay.
Somewhere there.
Okay, somewhere there's a little voice, a talkative little voice. Now, please indicate your whole body. Just indicate, yeah, that's it. See, very sharp. Okay, now, Janavas, and all of you, dear students and lecturers and friends, watch this. Janavas, point to you. Point to you. Go on, do something. Point to you. That's... Are you indicating your chest? Yeah, you are now. See, that is your chest, right? We already said point to your chest. It belongs to you. It's yours. Okay, so that can't be you because it's your chest. Have another go. That's your head. And inside is your mind. Are you? Indicate the whole thing then. Okay. No, but we said, that's your body. See? You and yours, these are two different things, right? Something cannot be yours, your property, and be you at the same time. That would be kind of, you know, schizophrenic or something. Okay. He did well, don't you think? Give him a round of applause. Okay, you may sit down. Yeah, thank you so much. So this is a very interesting point. It's a very interesting and very important point. Is that generally we think we are the body. I am a white man, whereas you are a young Indian woman, right? People think in these terms, generally. In terms of the body, But as we just pointed out, so expertly done by Janani-verse, we could have hardly asked for a better volunteer. So as we saw there, there tends to be this confusion about who I am, what I am, where I am. And in the Vedic, you know, the Vedic perspective, we're all eternal spiritual persons. We are occupying these bodies. We are inhabiting these bodies. But still, we are distinct from our bodies. Yeah. And people have a sense of this. I said a sense. They have a sense of this. It may be a little subtle, a little difficult to just put your finger on it just like that, but our little exercise indicated quite clearly that in general, because it couldn't have been anyone, I could have called on any of you and embarrassed you like I did Jadandikas, and we would have ended up at the same point. We would have ended up at the same point that we have a sense that I am a person, I am a being. But what am I? I am not my body, because my body is mine. So what am I then? So I am that thing, that entity within the body, which is, here's another little perspective, that when the body dies, you know, you're all young, or most of you are young, so perhaps none of your friends have died yet, or people you knew, maybe some of your older family members died, but it's not something you've had to deal with so much. But when the body dies, then the body is still there, but the consciousness is not there, the life, the vitality is not there. You know, when the body is living, or we would say when the conscious living being is within the body, their body, then if you take like a little razor blade, something like that, and you just make a little cut, just a small cut, say 2 centimeters long and, you know, 3 millimeters deep. Think about that. It's not very big. But you do that, and wow, you'll really feel it, and it will be quite a major negative experience. But when the body is dead, then you can take a sledgehammer or, you know, run over it with a truck or something, and there'll be no reaction whatsoever. And according to the Vedic perspective, that is because you or that person is no longer there. You are not in your body any longer. You have exited your body. And when you exited, you took your consciousness, your awareness, and your life, your vitality, you took those things with you. And all that's left is the body, which is just chemicals. The body can be analyzed in chemical terms. I don't know if any of you are doing chemistry just down the road there. I saw the building. You know, when I was at school many years ago, in the 1950s, and I will not ask you where you were in the 1950s, but we were told our bodies were 70% water. Is it something like that? That was in New Zealand. I'm from New Zealand. Maybe South African bodies are different. Maybe it's 80% or 60% or. But you know, isn't, you've heard something like that? You must have heard something like that. If not, look it up on Google. And if it's on Google, it must be right. And that's a joke too. So, but that's water. It's just water, like H2O, the usual stuff. Our bodies are 70% or whatever water. Then our bones are calcium, isn't it? Mainly calcium. And, you know, as you get older, you may get osteoporosis. Do you know what that is? Decay of the bones. And then you have to take calcium pills. So our bodies can be analyzed in the chemical terms. Plus, we just did our little demonstration to point out this is your body. It's not exactly you body. Yeah, it's your body. And just consider this. We're going to take some questions in a minute or two. Consider this one. This is very interesting. Consider that, you know, you're a person inside your body. You have a personality. Some of you may be very outgoing. Some may be more sort of inner type people, and you know, whatever it may be. Each one of us is an individual. You have your mind, your personality. But still, you know, think about this one. You know, you are the same person that you were when you, you know, like when you were a child, 5, 6, 7 years old. Your body has changed tremendously since you first started school when you were 7. In New Zealand, we start school at 5, by the way. Anyway, we won't make any comments about the South African educational system. But when you were 7 years old, now you may be 20, 22, 25, or something along those lines. Your body has changed drastically, isn't it? From this size, now you're, you know, 6 feet tall, whatever. And your mind, isn't it? Your mind has changed tremendously from when you were a child. Like when you were a child, a young man, like, what's your name again? I can't hear.
Rajiv.
When Rajiv was 5, he did not really know what a girl is. If you know what I mean. Now, Rajiv definitely knows what a girl is. And his attitudes towards them are just so different from when he was 5 years old or 7 years old. Am I right? It must be. So that means his mind has changed. And obviously the body has changed. But still he knows he is the same person. Like in the sort of fundamental, very foundational sense of entity, of being. He is the same being. Even though his body has changed so much, his mind has changed, his intelligence has developed. You know, back in those days, 2 + 2 = 4 was a challenge. Or you know what to speak of? 13 × 15, right? When you're a little child, wow, you just get lost. So the intelligence has developed, but still we know I am the same person. And me, I will not ask you to guess how old I am. But let me just tell you, I am 64. And I know I am the same person from my childhood. Although, you know, you think your mind's changed, now you're in your 20s, wait till you're 64. Your mind continues to change, and the body continues to change. So that person who it sort of possesses the mind, utilizes the mind, utilizes the body, this is you. It is you. That conscious living being who possesses a mind, who possesses the body, and a certain type of personality, that is you. And in the Vedic tradition, we would say, that is the soul, the eternal person, not changing, even though the body and mind and personality and so on, intelligence, these things have changed and continue to change. And therefore, we should be concerned about the afterlife. Just like we all should be concerned about tomorrow and the next day. And we are. What are we going to do? And, you know, what's our plan for tomorrow? And you're all here studying in university because you're concerned about your futures in a broader sense, like you want to get your degree, then you can get a good job, and then you can live your life and maintain a family and maintain yourselves, right? So you are concerned about your life going on into the future, not just tomorrow. But in this sense, we should be concerned about our afterlife. Because just as we are the same person who we were when we were children, when our bodies and minds were very different to how they are now, we will continue to exist when this body has not just, you know, developed and got bigger or got older, but when this body is finished, we will continue to exist just as we have already continued to exist while this body has changed tremendously and our minds have changed. So yeah, there are real implications there. There are real implications, like if you work hard in the university and you pass, then you have a bright future, right? Get a good job. If you fail, well, you know, that's not so good. Your future will not be so bright. So similarly, we should be concerned about our next life. And we should really try to live in such a way that we have a favorable situation in our next life. Because if you fail, just like if you fail in university, it's not so good. But if you fail in this life, your next life, well, it could be a bit rough. It could be very rough if you really fail badly. And therefore we recommend doing things which will help us to develop spiritually so that the future, even just in this life, if we develop spiritually, we'll be very happy. But if we develop spiritually, then our next life will also be very nice, very auspicious, and everything will be favorable. Therefore, we do this chanting, spiritual chanting, recitation of mantras, spiritual sound vibration. And I think that's about it for right now. Do you have any questions or comments? You know what I was told? You know what I was told? I was told that the students here in Westville are very intelligent. Is that right? I was told by authoritative sources, so it must be right. And I was told that the students here in Westville are very thoughtful and, you know, not just on the surface type people, but going deeper into things. So let's see. Let me answer these two questions here, and then if any of you have any others, you can just put your hands up. What is the purpose of this life? That's a very foundational question, isn't it? Well, the purpose really of this life is not just to get a good degree, so you get a good job, so you get good money, and so, you know, so on and so forth like that. Actually, the purpose of this life is to reawaken that our inner nature, our deeper nature, eternal spiritual nature, which is there within our bodies, and which is really us, and to really develop ourselves spiritually, internally, so that ideally, when this life comes to an end after some time, we can go to a spiritual place, to the kingdom of God. Or at the very least, even if we're not quite ready to go to the kingdom of God, we can go to a better material situation, worldly situation, in our next life. What happens when one dies? Another very foundational question. Well, it depends how you live. Like, what's going to happen to you when you finish university? It depends on how you do in university. So what's going to happen when you die? It depends how you live. In simple terms, to quote the Bible, I was brought up as a Christian, as you might have guessed. To quote the Bible, what is it? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Does that sound fair? How about an eye for 10 eyes? And a tooth for half a tooth. Does that sound fair? Not really. No. So in other words, you will get what you deserve in terms of the quality of your life, how you live. You'll get what you deserve. Therefore, we should try to live in God consciousness. If we try to live in Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, then we will create a godly future. Naturally, we'll create a godly future. Like if you study medicine and if you really work on it, you'll create a medical future. Yeah. So if we just take it one step further, it's not like a big jump, but if we live a good life, we'll create a good future. If we live a bad life, we'll create a bad future. And if you live a mixed life, you'll create a mixed future. Some good, some bad, up and down. Yeah. So, yeah, so this is what will happen when we die. And if you live in God consciousness, well, we said you'll create a godly future. You can go to the kingdom of God. where life is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge in the personal company of God. So let me just do a quick time check. Do we have any more time? Any of you intelligent Westville students? He was the one who told me, actually, so it must be true. Any of you have any further questions, comments, points you'd like to raise? Yes, sir. Loud and clear. You don't understand what? What is it? What is it? Okay, fair enough. Okay, the afterlife, in terms of the Vedic version, is, as we said, we see ourselves as eternal persons. We outlive our bodies. But depending on how we live in this lifetime, we will get a next body, another body, which, you know, the body we deserve, basically. The type of body we deserve in our next life. Just as this is your body today, your body, you will get another body based on how you live. Just as you're creating your future now by how you work here in the university, you're creating a future in terms of how you live and work now. So we are creating a next life, a next body in the course of this life. That's the afterlife. Is that okay? Okay? Possibility of? Before this life. Yes. That's how we got our particular positions in this life. Because in our previous life or lives, we lived in certain ways. And in this life, we were born into the situations we're in now. Yeah, the same idea. So someone is born rich, someone is born poor, someone is born intelligent, someone is not so intelligent, etc., etc. And that's from the previous life, prior to this life. Yeah. I have difficulty hearing it. Loud and clear. Oh, you mean the increase of population? Don't you mean? Okay. Well, you know, this brings in sort of a different aspect of things. But, yeah. You may not be born necessarily in a human body. All living bodies, the life in the body of an animal or even a plant, the life is a spiritual being. It's just a lower type of body. It just increases in population, if it really is true, and it may be. Just means souls, eternal persons coming from other species being elevated into the human species. Hell.
He may have been an elephant in his previous lifetime.
I wouldn't think, you know, like your immediate previous lifetime, but in some previous lifetime, probably, yeah. Because we've been here a long time, really long time. And generally, the Vedas say We have been through all species of life. It means millions, millions. Good point. See, he was right when he told me the students here are intelligent. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. Do we have the authority to cast out demons? Right. You know, the chanting of the names of the Lord, particularly the Hare Krishna mantra on the board there on your right, is very powerful spiritual sound vibration. It can cast out demons, meaning, you know, in a sort of metaphysical sense, it can just cast out your anxieties. It can cast out ghosts and hobgoblins. It can cast out, don't mind me saying this, Tikalosh. And I'm serious. Yeah. It can cast out Tikalosh. Yeah, special South African variety. It can cast out Tikalosh, it can cast out ghouls, Draculas, Frankensteins, and so on and so forth. Any type of negativity, be it coming from another being, or just your own negativity, your own anxieties and concerns and hang-ups and all that, can be cast out very nicely and completely through the regular chanting of the names of God, particularly the Hare Krishna mantra. Should we do a little more chanting, or are we over time?
We're over time.
He says we're out of time.
The next batch of students are coming in.
Okay. So, thanks very much. So nice being with you. Go well and take Hare Krishna with you. Hare Krishna.